Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. If you walk, you're fine, but if you stop, all of a sudden.
Okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order at 4:34 on Monday, October 24th, and let the record show that Commissioner Magura is excused. He'll call in if he has an opportunity, but not to expect him definitely. So, we don't have any public, so there's no public comment. Approval and review, or review and approval of the minutes. Anything you want to update?
I'll move adoption of the minutes as drafted.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It is unanimous. They are approved. General Manager's report.
Mine on now because my arthritis.
All right. Going to water operations. There's nothing to update on DMAR. They did receive their notice to proceed on the 28th of September with a completion date of the 28th of November. New information on the well standby generator. And the water main replacement grant funding, we're waiting a response to be received by December of 2022. Backflow. I wanted to make sure someone didn't log. Did someone phone in?
I think it picked it up.
Okay, so the backflow testing program. Extension was given to customers not in compliance with the annual inspections for the 31st of October of this month. As you see, we have 25 remaining to be tested, and since I prepared the report, we haven't received any additional in. So that's not a good sign for next Monday. Current compliance percentage is 95%. The premise isolation abandonment from last month, we've made progress, continue to make progress. We have 274 black flows remaining to pull on the ground with a 59% completion, project completion. And we estimate the completion, as I told you, not of June of 23, of March of 23, if we maintain our current schedule. We started a new initiative with the water meter box maintenance. We use our Mondays now for nothing but water meter box clean out and maintenance. Since we've started that, we've had 204 cleaned out, and in that 204, we identified 6 leaking meters, which was a really, really good idea. I think I'm going to refine this, and as I future report on it, we'll provide any leaks that we were able to repair in the maintenance aspect of it.
And you know, Janine, based, you know, after reading the report from USA, a couple of leaks were meters or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is going to, I think, pay off in the long run.
Yes, yeah. And I'm going to brief a little bit more on that. Yeah. So with your permission, Chair Roth, I'm going to go ahead and cover finance, and then I want to go to production and consumption, and I want to segue that in for new business.
Okay.
All right. Under October billing, we had revenue charges of $236,668. Employee training completed there. All district personnel, with the exception of finance, are now Oregon Flagger certified. And the leak detection project, that's my segue in. So you'll see for the month of October that our percentage rate is 6.6%. And you have to take into correlation of the large percentage of water use. August through October is your largest use of water, especially for our district. So the leak detection report came through, and we were actually very, very happy with it. It's what we thought we were going to see. If you turn to page, you know, they're not paged, but if you turn to the third to last page, the leak report, the curb stop was repaired on site at Red Wing when U.S. Utility Associates was here at our district. The leaks that we're going to drill down on and repair is number two, of course, and that's the valve. I've already contacted Sam Wiseman, who will be our contractor for the job, and I'm going to meet with him out here on Friday, and we're going to take him to the location. I also asked him, when he comes up with a price for that, to give me a price for Tualatin. Tualatin Lane is not foreign to us. They were on the leak report from 2012, if you remember. When I took over as GM, I actually hired two contractors that went out there and tried to listen for the leak, and it was all over the place. So we weren't going to tear up the road, a 75-foot section, on a leak that we couldn't identify where it was coming from. I was glad to see USA did a little bit more in-depth pinpointing on it and has it a good approximation for us of where it is. I envision the valve leak will be around $10,000 for leak number two, and I assume leak number three will be somewhere around $8,000.
So, Janine, what do they do when they do they? Are they going to replace the valve? Okay, that's what they. Okay.
So what they'll do is like what they did on Sycamore. We'll cut pavement, pull up the asphalt, trench it probably about 4 feet. We have to be really careful in Tualatin. That's why we didn't take action before, because all that fiber optics is there. And I could be wrong, and this is just my guesstimate. I believe the leak was caused when they ran fiber optics back in 2011, because that past district leak report was 2012. I think they nicked the line. And I don't have any proof of that. You know, it's going to be in the pudding when we get it exposed, but that's what I think, and that's why I think it's been leaking for so long. And it'll be interesting, but I'm very, very pleased that he was able to drill down on that and get us an approximation of where it is. I gave you all an overview, and in the last 2 years, we've reduced our leaks by 3,810,600 gallons per year. A big part of that was, of course, you remember the sinkhole on DeMar Way that happened. And you'll remember the leak that was repaired at Reservoir 3. And then I think it's a compilation of all the other leaks that I brief on and is part of your general manager's report every month. And so I would tell the board to pay attention to that and not just, you know, overlook it. Because when I'm giving you the production and consumptions, I'm giving you how much we always lose for the chlorine analyzers. There's nothing we can do about that. That's just how they operate. And then I drill down on what district leaks we have repaired, you know, throughout the 30-day month of what I'm reporting. So,
What is our authority? So if a leak is identified on the homeowner's side of the meter, so it's not in our facility, because I had that happen to me once over, and I wanted to fix it, of course, because I didn't want to keep paying forever. But what if a homeowner doesn't fix their leak, but we know there's one there. Can we shut them off?
You can if your ordinance says that. And if you remember last month, I told the board I don't think our ordinance does us justice. There's a lot of old data in there that needs to be changed. It's not current. It's not with the times. And I talked about a penalty for those customers that don't comply with their backflow annual testing. And that's something the district can do, and districts are doing, is they're doing a penalty for those that don't comply, because this is a state requirement. It's not a district requirement. And I would recommend that for leaks. So if your ordinance allows you to do that, because that's your laws of how you conduct business, you can do that. And I would recommend in the rewrite that be put in there.
Okay.
There's a lot of changes.
The reason I was thinking of that, I mean, I can kind of understand it in the old days, people being reluctant to it, because it's a... But now, I mean, with mine... They basically took a bore and ran it under my lawn up to the house and just pulled in the new PEX line.
Yeah.
I mean, it was nothing.
Right.
And it's say, you know, I it just, you know, I just wasn't losing water anymore. And it was just, you know, I had an old corroded line, and now they just pull that line through and, geez, they were done in half a day or something, you know, so.
Yeah, if our new ordinance is written, that gives us the authority. Unfortunately, it's not written now. And I'm only in the infancy stage.
I was just wondering, I don't know how if it's a prevalent problem, but it's going to be because, you know, these houses were built in the 70s and stuff, and so they're going to start, you know.
Yeah. And it's interesting.
We're in the midst of changing all of our piping.
Didn't we have one there on Arrowwood, too? Down there, the people live on the corner of Arrowwood and Don. I noticed they were having some work done, and I think they were having their service line.
That's what we're having done now.
Yeah. It's and my water pressure is so much better anyway. I just was curious. Mm-hmm.
The only thing that customers have right now is they pay a higher water bill.
Yeah.
Right?
And some customers are willing to do that as opposed to pay for the. That's my point. For pay to the plumbing and.
Oh God, I guess.
Well, we had a flood, so.
Yeah. No, mine was just, I could start to see it in the front yard, just a little wet spot, you know, whatever. But I caught it within 3 or 4 days because I could hear it.
Yeah.
But I could see some people just saying, I don't want to spend $4,000 to have a plumber come out and, let it go and go and go. And
no.
That hurts the district then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you'll turn to the fourth to last page under possible consumer leaks, we did go to Wayzata and we did go to 12 to. Those are separate from the three that were identified.
We did
confirm that they have leaks. We've reached out to both of the homeowners. The problem with one of those addresses is that it looks like it's a snowbird, so they're not actually living at the residence. And making contact has been very difficult. The phone numbers aren't current. And we actually tried a Google search.
Is there somebody living there, though?
No.
It would
be interesting to see what my water bill is.
We can't legally shut somebody's water off like that, though. And that leak, if I had to guess, because I pulled
up.
Until
we change our code or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the ordinance. I looked at that, and that water's probably been leaking for at least 7 billing cycles. So that's 14 months.
Wow.
And he's an elderly gentleman in his 70s, which I think compounds things in me trying to locate, because none of the phones he left are current. I did want to say also on the leak report, in the reduction, the original flow meter at well 1 was faulty, and we had suspected that. And now that that's been replaced this summer, I think that leads to some of our numbers here. The well on well 1, though, I'm not totally convinced that it's set at the right parameters. It's very difficult, but it's very, very crucial to set those flow meters correctly. We didn't actually go down and look at the spool. We didn't, tap into it or anything. And so the thickness in the ID has to be correct when that ultrasonic meter is, the parameters are set. We did have an expert come out, and we used his specifications, but I'm not sure of that. So if we really, really wanted to drill down on this, and I believe the ID is off, which I'm not saying that, I'm not certain it is. It's a 50-50 chance. We can dig that up, and that'd probably be a cost of about $8,000, install a new spool, and what I'm guesstimating it's off at the most is 2 cubic feet a minute, and I don't mean to make light of that. Another option is where we isolate well 1, we perform a flow test through hydrant 44 with a hydrant meter. That's the most conservative and less costly plan of action, and that's the one that I intend to take.
So, Janine, in this situation, the meter is misgauged, where we're not actually losing the water. It's just saying we're losing.
Right. It's saying that we're overproducing what we're producing.
Okay, but there's actually not a leak. It's just that the meter's reading incorrectly. Okay.
And so then if you go back to your leak report and you look at where it's got production, that's making our production numbers up. What if our production really isn't that high?
Mm-hmm.
If it's over reporting 2 cubic feet. So again, I'm taking the conservative approach. And I'm going to test hydrant 44 and do a read. And then if I'm not satisfied with that, if it's not conclusive for me, then we'll have to do the other option, and that's the only option to take. If I had to repair leaks, though, my priority would be to get the valve fixed, and then to get Tualatin fixed, and then go after well 1.
Okay.
that would be my plan of action.
I agree with Val, because they could end up being worse if they're not the longer you wait.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to say that, and remember when we were reporting before, like you see the June, why were we at 26%? Well, a big part of that was the faulty flow meter that was at well 2 that since has been replaced. And those should have all been replaced when the rehabilitation of the wells took place in 2012. I wasn't here at that time. I can't, don't want to comment on why it wasn't done, but it should have been done. Biggest takeaway from this is we're still on the state's bad list in that they're going to monitor us for 3 years. I think Carrie will be very encouraged when she sees our latest unaccounted. And I hope that by December, with the two repairs that I know that we need to do, plus getting the flow meter accurately calibrated at well 1, I really think that we would be down in the 4. And then, you know, the 4%, that's something that we can live with or have to live with as we have this 65% AC pipes. It leaks, but the good part was there's not a serious leak going on, or it would have been picked up by the leaked survey.
I really liked the format of this report. Mm-hmm. I could read through it. It wasn't too technical for me.
No, it was very, very easy to maneuver through. I think he did a really, really good job. I would use them again, and I would recommend that the district have this done every 10 years. It's kind of just something, housekeeping maintenance, that you need to do. Even if your numbers are somewhere in the 4 or 5%, I would do it. But you have to see where we came from. You know, we came from 29% just a year and a half ago,
really,
now to be down at 6%.
That's amazing. Good job.
Yeah, very good job.
It was really pretty much done for us. We just had to read and go after where they thought, and you know, good site observation. You know, I tell the water operators, every time you're out in that truck, you're on a surveying mission. If you see water, especially in the summer month, there should never be any water. If you're seeing water, then you need to note it, come back, and we need to investigate it. There shouldn't just be water. It shouldn't be natural for you to see it.
So did they? I didn't go out and see any of this. Now I kind of wish I would have. Or do they? Is this like a listening equipment thing they use or something?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, I sent an email to all of you, explaining how they pinpoint and what they do. Commissioner McGurl wanted to have more specifics on it, so I infoed the whole board. And it wasn't like I could call in advance and say, "Hey, they're going to be on your street." This all happens in a matter of mere minutes,
sure.
5 minutes or less. And also for liability on their part. You know, they don't want people out there when they're testing. They're out there on the roads. They're out there, you know, in the streets. And that wasn't something that they were willing to negotiate with us on.
No, that's fine. No, that's okay. I was just saying, you know, it's just amazing what the technology, how things
work. Yeah, thank God they have it.
Yeah,
I had a leak when we lived in San Antonio, and I found it. I noticed that the grass was getting kind of green, and I walked over, put my foot down, and sunk right up to my ankle.
Did you get the boat out?
I should have. And that was 30 years ago, and it cost $200 and some. It was, like, horrifying.
Were there any questions on the finance report?
No.
I actually do have some questions on your board report. For the backflow program, how many of those backflows that we have remaining are non-standard, where it requires more effort than average to remove the backflows?
They're all non-standard, the remaining.
All the remaining ones are non-standard? Okay. And I guess my other question for you is, with Meter Box Monday, does our meter reader, like, issue us a surcharge if they have difficulty reading the meter?
No.
I mean, are we? No? Okay. So.
I remember with my old meter before we got the new box in or whatever, that thing was, the gophers filled, or the moles, that thing was full all the time. The guy'd have to always be pulling dirt away and the like, and it's been better since I got the new meter box, because it's bigger, number one, so there's more room for that. But plus I've been doing mole abatement myself, but
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they can fill up really fast.
Yeah, boxes should be cleaned out twice a year. There's
and they go around with that vacuum thing, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they're the back trailer.
That was one of the best things.
I wonder if
Tom gets credit for that. That was
River Grove, because they're so much closer to the river if they have more.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
Inundation, you know,
and more wildlife in general.
We haven't noted that. There's not a difference in pretty much the meter boxes of where you live in the district. They're pretty well maintained the same, and they have the same amount of buildup.
But we tend to have a sandy loam soil mixed with rocks, and so that kind of soil is easy to, you know, other than the rocks. But
boy, you are lucky. Even as close as we are to you, we are on clay. Huh. End of sentence.
Yeah. I look at the soil survey because that's what I do professionally. Okay. And I just, you know, it'd be interesting. It's interesting to look at how it changes. You go over into Bryant Woods, which is city of Lake Oswego or whatever. The water table is very close to the surface. That's why you see the water. I mean, I've seen backyards in the wintertime over there just full of water. And then you get over into our neighborhood. Yeah. It's, you know, especially Arrowwood down onto Don, that area where we live. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of big rocks in it, but the soil around it is very sandy loam, and it drains really fast. So it's just amazing how it changes in the River Grove general area so fast. And it's because we're right through there where the Missoula floods kind of paused before it went down in the valley, and it just dropped all kinds of different things. And then look in the River Grove Elementary School, some of those big rocks they pulled out of there.
I can't believe that.
I take my dog down to that park all the time, and I was watching that all the way through. My gosh, it's just, I can see why it's hard to dig in our neighborhood.
Yeah. And I guess the last question I had for you, Janine, you said that all the employees except for the finance specialist completed flagger training. What kind of flagging equipment do you carry on the trucks?
We don't carry them on the truck. It's easily stolen. We carry it in the district shop, and we have all the equipment required. So when you ask me, that's a very generalized question. So we have the signs, we have the flags, we have the stands, we have the flashlights, the whistles, radios, anything that you have to do for flagging, we have all the equipment.
Okay, super.
And when you're responding in the middle of the night, are there always two employees that respond? Or
depends on what the leak is, and I make that call as general manager.
I'm sorry?
It depends what the leak is, and I make that call as general manager on how many employees will respond.
So a situation depends on how many?
Situational leadership, situational awareness. It depends on what the situation is in the call out of the night. I always respond as the general manager, and then I will call whatever personnel I feel I need to help manage the situation.
So when you go out in the middle of the night, are you alone?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're responding in the middle of the night, do we need to have someone, in addition to looking at the water issues, do we need someone to be able to take care of traffic with lighting?
No, not on the initial call. Again, I go out as a situational awareness, and I assess the situation, and then I call and determine how many personnel are needed or if they need to respond.
Remember the one, this happened to me, it was the one that was just outside my house and just down on Don, and the whole thing was coming up. And then I called the sheriff, actually, because I was, and that's exactly what happened. One person came out, looked at it, you know. In fact, I think it was our on-call engineer at that time, whoever it was. It wasn't
one of
I don't even know. It was one of his firm or whatever. And they came out and looked at all the valves, and then they assessed it. And same thing with Janine's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But that was strangely, because the whole street was coming up. And that's why I called the sheriff.
Yeah.
And, you know, then he basically called the water district in, and that's what happened. One person came out, and then they did an analysis, and an hour or two later, there were three people out there, so.
Mm-hmm. If there's no other questions, that concludes the general manager's report.
Okay. Unfinished business, board relations. We have not scheduled anything. And coming into the holidays, quite frankly, I think we're looking at January. So, you know, there's just enough chaos going on. Each person
typical
is,
holidays.
Yeah. Leak detection report. We pretty much covered that.
Yes, it is.
Okay. On chair report, the only thing I have to report is a short statement, which I have written out. As you know, the district was brought into an accident claim in January.
Do you have a copy of your statement?
No, but I can get you one. First thing I ought to say is we have been advised by our attorney that it would be appropriate for you to recuse yourself. And are you willing to do that?
No, no.
You are not. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to, but we will make note of that. Mm-hmm. As you know, the district was brought into an accident claim in January 2022 due to the property owner facing a lawsuit. Although the district was not included in the actual lawsuit, the district was tendered into the suit by the property owner's attorney. An insurance settlement was reached. A sum of $37,500 was paid to the plaintiff from the district's insurance coverage. And I was going to say something, you might have just spaced it out.
Matters closed.
Yeah, that's all that I really have to say about it. And that concludes that matter.
So no action required? That was just...
No, just an information. Oh, I know what I was going to say. If anyone should ask from the public, this is public information. So it could be disclosed, and now we are done.
Actually, I have a quick, on the note of insurance, I do have a quick question for you, Chris.
Okay.
Is there any increase in our insurance premium that's been projected as a result of this claim or as a result of anything else that's happened this past year?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
And that's not a definitive answer, but
sure.
That's what I know.
It's your knowledge. Yeah.
We're in the process right now of having our insurance reviewed for all aspects. October, November is the month. So as they seek information from me, I am updating all of our different requirements and coverage. So we won't know until January.
It will be interesting to see. My insurance agent told me things are going to be going up just because of inflation.
Correct.
Yeah. I already paid my,
9%
this year.
Yeah.
So.
Ow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got mine in the mail 2 weeks ago. So, yeah.
We haven't gotten ours yet.
So, Janine, you said you're having it reviewed. Are you having an independent third party review it, or is SDAO conducting
a review?
No,
when you have an insurance policy, just like you as an individual, your insurance agent reviews your policy annually. So in order for them to review the policy annually, they send me all the reports, and I have to go in and say, do we still own three trucks? Do we still, you know, have...
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Super.
So it's being
just like
reviewed.
A general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
but
a routine review.
Understood.
Yes,
yeah.
Like
it drives me nuts. Every year, my earthquake insurance, the company asks me, you know, the same thing about, you know, what your house, is anything changed to your house, you know,
And Chair Johnson said, expect an increase, not over this incident,
well,
just because of inflation and expenses.
And
okay.
I keep thinking I don't want that insurance anymore, but you know, if you don't have earthquake insurance now,
you're
they're not issuing
dead.
New ones, so
no.
I just hang on to it.
Yes.
If you've got it, you can keep still.
That's right.
Yeah. We have it and we're keeping it.
Yeah.
Okay. That appears to be everything. So we will have our next regular board meeting on Monday, November 28th.
I better put that on my calendar right now.
And it is now 5 o'clock. And in record short order, we are adjourned.
Okay.